This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Hey, everybody. I've got one of my favorite guests in here today because she's never been a guest before. And I actually talked her into this. And she wants a little credit for this in case we want to put something under my Real Life with Lisa Jesswine. And she wants to call it Chillin' with Cool People. Hey, Kara, how are you?
I'm great, Lisa.
And you, I can give you money for that if you want.
Lots.
I like
of money.
Chilling with cool people. Mm-hmm. All right. The reason I wanted to have Kara on, by the way, this is Kara Troutman, everybody. And
Hi. She
is an author, an actress, and an adventurer. That's kind of what I talked to her about. And the reason I have Kara on, because Kara's written a book and it's out on Amazon right now, and we'll get into all that later. But what makes it a little bit different and why I wanted to have her on is because, you know, she doesn't have a PhD, she's not a corporate bigwig, she's not an entrepreneur or lecturer. She's just someone who one day said, I want to write a book. And then her next sentence was, now what? Because there's everybody listening out there. I know at some point you thought, well, I would really like to write a book, whether it's a children's book or maybe you want to contribute to a magazine or something like that. Everybody always thinks, can I do this? And so that's why I wanted to take, and I'm putting this in air quotes, the everyday person, because you are extraordinary. You know this.
Thank you.
who went about writing a book and kind of just sort of tripped her way along until she found out how to get it done. So before we actually talk about the book,
sure,
we're going to go back to where that first thought popped into your head about I need to write one. And believe it or not, everybody, it's in the jungles of Uganda. So explain to me, why were you in the jungle and how this all started?
Sure. So to go back a little bit before that, after college, I was in the Peace Corps for 2 years in Gabon, which is in Africa. And then I came home and I did back to Michigan. I did some acting and enjoyed myself and decided I wanted to go back. So this time I went back to Uganda for a year and I loved it. And I worked in an awesome small community doing education for children and sports leagues. It was just an amazing experience. So jump 2 years after that, I went back to Uganda to visit my family. I saved up money and went back.
Oh my gosh.
And it was at that time that I happened to have another friend working for Doctors Without Borders in Uganda. And we saved up money to go visit the gorillas in Uganda, which is an amazing trip.
Oh.
And it was in the far western part of Uganda. Tiny little village. Tourists come in and out, but there aren't many people living there. And the day before we took our hike, I was in the market just kind of looking for things, maybe to buy someone something. And I overheard this English man say, I'm buying something for my wife. She's a writer. And it sounds weird, but when he said she's a writer, it like hit me in the chest, like almost like I was hit, like almost like it just like resonated, like she's a writer. Obviously, I know of writers, I know people write books, but there's something about that moment that made me think, I want to write a book. That's where the seed came from. It just kind of hit me.
So you're just standing there and you're buying something and there's gorillas nearby.
Yes.
And you're like, hey, I know I'm out here, but I want to write a book.
I mean, my mother was a writer and I've always been interested in writing because I love the fact that you can do that anywhere in the world if you want to. I love the idea of being able to travel and live and write somewhere else. I am an actor and most of my start it was from classes at Second City in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And through that, I also took classes in writing sketch shows. So that's where I got my start in writing, is writing plays and with other people.
Okay. So when you were standing there, though, and you thought, I want to write a book, did you know what kind of book then?
No, I had no idea. Or if I could write a book or how I would write a book.
Okay, so take us on the travel back home. Mm-hmm. Here we come. The thought is still in your head.
Yeah.
What
so
steps
it's kind
did
of
you
just
take?
Like, well, I had written a screenplay. I started writing a screenplay. So it was very early on in the process. And I kind of liked the characters in the screenplay. So I just kind of thought about what I would like to write. And I picked a 35-year-old single woman as my main character. At the time, I believe I was a 35-year-old single woman. So that was easy. And I kind of just dabbled. That would be around in the summer of a couple years ago. I just dabbled starting writing and I looked up how to write a book. I thought about taking classes. I didn't end up doing it. But what helped me a few days before November, a friend of mine told me about this thing called November novel writing month, or NaNoWriMo, mm-hmm. which I'm probably mispronouncing. But the basic concept is in 30 days, you write 50,000 words. You just write. You don't edit. You don't look back on it. You just try to get the basics of your novel down. And I did that. And I don't think I would have a book if I didn't do that. Because I didn't worry so much about what I was writing. I didn't worry so much about where the book was going. I just wrote. And by the end of November into December, I had a huge portion of my book written. Granted, it was a huge portion that I had to edit, and mm-hmm. I changed, and a lot, some of it I didn't even use, but it was a huge base to jump off to write the book.
Okay, now we're going to go back to the 50,000 words in just a minute, but you talked a little bit about, you know, who you talked to in mm-hmm. seminars or things that helped, and I'm writing a book as well.
Yay! Oh,
imagine that! and one of the books that I do want to tell people about is Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Absolutely a fantastic place to start mm-hmm. if you're not even really sure if you should write a book.
Yeah.
If you want to go ahead and you want to read that book, that really helped out a lot, and I mm-hmm. think you were the one that suggested that to me.
I might have, yeah.
Just take credit for it, sister.
I will take credit for it, definitely.
Like, oh yes, it was me, and it's very helpful.
It was phenomenal. It changed my life. But really, I don't know, to write a book, you just kind of got to sit down and write a book.
Okay, number one thing, because right now, even just you saying mm-hmm. that, I can feel the heart palpitations happening all over, people listening to this. And that, of course, is fear.
Mm-hmm.
So let's address that as it relates to writing.
Because it's easy to sit there and think, like, number one, should I be writing? Am I good enough to be writing? Is this going, where is this going? I don't know if it's going to be going anywhere. Are people going to like it? Like, you can just get all these questions in your head, which is funny because I do have, as we talked, a book out now, and I'm starting work, major work on my second book, and I thought all that would be gone, but it's not. Like, it's, that all comes back. Like, if ever, it's like stronger. So you really just have to kind of push that. You can address it and push it away. Because if you think about that too much, you're never going to write your book. You're never going to do anything. You just can't think about what other people are going to think. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're good enough to write. You want to write, so write, and you will get better. I will say that in the process of writing my first book, I became a better writer in the middle of the process of writing my first book.
And let's end the suspense. The mm-hmm. book is called...
Oh, the book is called Happy-ish.
Ah,
Happy ISH. It's on Amazon, and it's only $2.99. So
big sale, folks!
Come on, you have $2.99. And right now, it is specifically an ebook for Kindle. And if you don't have a Kindle, you can download the Kindle app to your computer or smartphone. That's where I'm starting. At some point, I would like it to be an actual paperback that you hold in your hand. But it's an amazing time in publishing right now that you can write a book and you can publish it yourself and you can get people around. Right now, I have people around in a month and a half around the country reading and reviewing it. And I have had people in the UK and Germany, two people in Japan.
Hey. Yes. So if someone's like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And you know, the first thing that'll come in, well, I don't have a computer, or do I have to write it longhand? Mm-hmm. How do I do? So those are all doubts and fears and excuses, right? What kind of excuses did you tell yourself?
Well, I would say I didn't have time, because the majority of the time I was writing this, I was also another show upon other show. So I'd be like, I'm working on another project. I'm doing something else. I'll put it off. It just gets to the point that you just have, if you want to write a book, you just have to do it. You have to push all those. You have to find time.
It's like, shut up and do it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And I put, so with this interview, I have a website called caratroutman.com.
Spell that out, please.
C-A-R-A, I can spell my own name, TRAUTMAN.com. And I yesterday I wrote a blog post just in general about all the resources and websites and programs and things that helped me along the way when I was writing my book. So we're not going to be able to go into detail all those things, but if someone is interested in writing a book and wants more information or know someone, mm-hmm. definitely go to caratroutman.com.
And it doesn't mean that you can't come away from writing, because let's talk a little bit about some major events that mm-hmm. did happen during the writing of your book. And if it's okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about the death of your mom.
Mm-hmm. No.
So explain how that all affected you during your writing process.
That my mom passed away near the end. I was mostly done with writing my book. My mom was a writer, like I mentioned earlier. She'd written freelance and gotten several articles published. And I was just always seeing in my family as something I looked up to her, that she was a writer. And that was a big deal to me. And she had been in the hospital for many years prior to her passing away. And during that time, often when I visited, I was writing my book. You know, sometimes when people in the hospital, they're not always up for a visit, but they want you to be there. So it was the perfect thing to actually do, to be with her, to talk to her when she wanted to. But she was so much a part of that process of me just getting words on paper. Mm-hmm. But of course, when she passed away, I definitely took at least a month off, because I just didn't want to write. I just didn't want to think about it, which is fine. But at some point, I think you just have to push past it. And especially for me, because I knew that she was so proud of me. She still is so proud of me. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like a gift to her that I knew I had to give to keep writing. And the book is dedicated to her.
That's so cool. And you know, and I love the fact that you said it's okay if you mm-hmm. need to step away from your project
yes.
for a while.
Yes.
It doesn't mean it's never going to happen. It doesn't
exactly.
mean that you stink or that you can't, you know,
yeah.
do anything.
Yeah.
And what you don't know is that Karen and I for over a year and a half have been writing partners.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years now, yeah. yes. And we get together mm-hmm. every Wednesday and we do writing. And yeah. sometimes.
Sometimes. But that, honestly, that was crucial. Because we met very early on. I'd written those 50,000 words, and then 3 months later, I met you. So it was very early on in my process. It was crucial because there were times when I didn't have a chance to look at my book, or it was the last thing in my mind. But I knew for that time on Wednesday, for an hour to 2 hours, even if it was just doing research or bringing up the book in my head, I knew that I would be working on it.
Yeah, it's very important to make an appointment time
yes.
with yourself.
Yes.
Whether you are just contemplating things mm-hmm. and thinking about it, like you said, or you're actually sitting down and writing.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about goals then.
Well, and right now, what I ended up doing for the last year of writing my book, number one, I stopped doing shows because I just knew that I needed to focus on this project or it never was going to happen. And that was difficult because I love acting. I love doing things like that. And I had to pass up some opportunities. But I also needed to get this done. But number two, try to give yourself a regular schedule. I would be lying to tell if I said, like, I wrote for this amount of time every day and it was awesome. I didn't. But I found when I did finally stick to a schedule, it got done, which of course isn't a surprise. What I'm trying to do right now is at the very least 15 minutes a day, write, research, do something about your book. And almost every day when I give myself 15 minutes ends up being half an hour, 45 mm-hmm. minutes. I come back to it later. Because you stepping away from the book, which is fine, I would forget kind of, you don't remember everything that you wrote or
right.
the storylines, at least the way that I write. It wasn't completely plotted out. So if you take too much of a break for the book, then it's just like you mm-hmm. spend so much time trying to remember where you are, where you're going. What's happening?
Yeah, you end up rereading.
What do I want to do next? Instead of just even for a few minutes a day, just being in that world and reminding of yourself where you're laid off, where you left off, and leaving notes. I leave notes for myself all the time. Like, this is where you need to start, and you have to deal with this, and go mm-hmm. back and write here. And
you know, I can. Some people are out there going every day. I don't even do. Okay, so if all you can commit to is one day a week,
yeah,
then commit to that and mm-hmm. congratulate yourself for it,
for
because
sure.
it's all about not beating yourself up for the mm-hmm. fact that you're taking this huge step
for sure
into writing.
Yes.
And writing is not always pleasant.
No. I always say that I love to write, I just hate writing. Because when I'm writing, I get lost, I enjoy myself, time flies by. But there's something about getting myself to write, it's probably like working out, I love doing it mm-hmm. afterwards, it's just really hard to get myself to actually do it. Once I'm in that zone, it's phenomenal, and I'm like, why do I have a problem with it? Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, if you start out with a day a week, and then you maybe add another day, the more you do it, the more you want to do it. Because you kind of have things in your
right.
brain that you want to get to. So that helps.
And you do want to do it until an editor or a friend or a family member or somebody gets a hold of it and they read it and they go, oh, well, why are you doing this? And what's that for? And okay,
yeah.
So let's talk about when you finally hand your baby over to someone else and then you're
yes.
fearful someone's going to tell you you have an ugly baby.
Yes. So the book was, for the most part, the book was written by last June. 2012. And so I paid attention to anybody who ever said, oh, I'd love to read your book, and I found them. And I was like, because people are busy, and not everyone's a reader, and I wanted outside opinion. This whole world was in my head. Even meeting with you, you love to share things, which is awesome, and I love to give feedback. But my process, at least right now, I'm very much like,
you wouldn't even let me look at it. You were terrified to let me look at it.
I think because for me, I edit so much that I'm like, you can look at this, but it's going to change. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I needed eyes, you know, separate. I was too close to this world. Mm-hmm. So I did track down people, and they did read it. And for the most part, I got some really good feedback, things I hadn't noticed, and people were really positive. There were lots of people that never gave me any feedback. And it was hard because I thought, like, does this mean that they don't like it?
Yeah.
Does this, like, why am I not hearing anything? But I think in reality, just people get busy.
Oh, absolutely. So then how do you go about getting an editor? Because people hear editor and they think it costs thousands and thousands of dollars to have this happen.
Well, I will say that it does cost money, but it costs money for a good reason. An editor goes through your work, like, word by word, sentence by sentence, chapter by chapter.
And there's different kinds of editors.
And there's very different kinds of editors, which I learned. I will say, before we talk about this, I almost didn't get an editor, and I'm so glad that I did. Especially in the world of self-publishing, there's so many books out there that aren't edited, and readers, of course, don't like it when they're seeing mistakes. Or, you know, you don't want early reviews to be like, I enjoyed this book, however, I was counting the grammatical errors, or I noticed a huge plot problem, or the fact my editor pointed out that I had a character named Trina 3 times in my book that nobody else noted. Small, tiny characters, but yeah. So, yes, in my research to find an editor, which I really just went online and researched, and I found out that there are different kind of editors. There are editors that can help you along the way. They're called developmental editors. So if you are trying to write a book and you just don't know where it's going, or you've got the information, fiction or nonfiction, but you don't know how to put it together, they will work with you during the process of the book, not just the end process. It can be from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So that's something, I didn't need that, but I know a lot of people that could be very helpful. Mine was more for the editing and proofreading at the end.
Copy editing, right?
Yes, copy editing. Okay. Yeah. And I found a wonderful woman named Rachel Lee Cherry. She's in Grand Rapids. She happened to be in Michigan, which I like because my book was set in Michigan. However, the nice thing about editors, I've never met her. I've never actually talked to her on the phone. You could work with someone in Japan if you like, or England. Mm-hmm. It can be, as long as they've got a computer, they can work. But I'm so happy that I did it. And I would say, if you're starting a book, and thinking about self-publishing, if you don't have the money, start setting aside money now, because it can be about $1,000 to $2,000, depending how you get. But my work is so much more polished. She found things like the Trina thing, mm-hmm. or just things that I never would have thought about, that just made it
more Was that
smooth.
Hard for you the first time you handed it over?
It was.
You were probably at home, like, biting your nails. Oh,
well,
gosh.
The process of finding an editor, you send chapters, and then they will edit them and send them back, and then you choose whose work. So, you know, you're getting a lot of people, and it is a little weird, like, take a deep breath. And with Rachel, she found something, not wrong, but she wanted to change the first line of my book, and I was like, I just remember, like, what? Why would nobody else have a problem? Why would you have I found that with issues that would kind of, I would feel like that about, mm-hmm. Because you are the writer. It's your choice whether or not you want to change it or not. Give it a day. And if in that next day you don't want to do anything, then, you know, that you don't have to do what they say. But I found the things that, you know, really got to me were generally things that I was like, ah, good point.
Darn
like,
it.
It got me. I took it personally. Then just, you know, wait a day or two
when you,
you can deal with it.
I would say when you are writing, you have to put your ego on the shelf.
Yes.
You can. That ego has to sit back there, and you just sort of have to let everything flow through you.
Yes.
Did you do the title first or last? How did the title come to you?
The title came very last, very towards the end. I thought something was going to jump out. I thought, like, something I wrote or a sentence, and it never hit me. And I was like, it's going to come. It's going to come. And I had no title. And then I really got to the point that I, near the last couple months of writing the book, that I was like, I can't, I need a name for this book. And I wanted something that was kind of quirky, something that was simple, but also that if you read it, you knew it was going to be kind of funny or not serious.
Mm-hmm.
And the book deals a lot with Jane Pearson, the main character, trying to find happiness, and she is kind of happy-ish. So it kind of just jumped in my head, and when it jumped in my head, I knew, like, I was like, this is it. It's settled.
You knew that the same way you knew when you were standing in the jungle, yes, that you should write a book.
Yeah, it was that strong, like, okay, I have found title.
Because editors do that a little bit too, don't mm-hmm, they suggest
sure.
titles and things to you. So the bottom line is you can be a writer and you
yes.
don't have to freak out about, oh, is it going to be 200, 300 pages?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you just want to write an article for a magazine.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there's that. Maybe you just want to start writing some poems and then put together the collection, or it can be about your life.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing for me as well, writing, is knowing that everybody has a place.
Yeah.
That,
oh, sure. Everybody's
know?
Got a story, and everybody's story is different, and there's a place for your story, for sure. And I would say if it makes people feel better when they're writing, because I've heard this a lot before, if you're thinking, I'm just writing for myself, this is just for myself, if that makes you feel better, then you don't have to worry about all the people. That comes later. Like, don't even worry about where it's going to be published and who's going to read it. Just write it.
Although this one editor told me when I said, this is kind of for myself, and she's like, well, then why are you writing it? I was like, wow. Ouch. Snap. Okay. As we're winding down here, at the end of Real Life with Lisa Jess Wine, as I like to do, we
yes.
have what we call the RL3.
Okay.
And the RL3 are the real life three questions that we are going to ask that you are not privy to until this very moment.
No.
And so we just want you to go with the absolute top of the mind answer that you have. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the first one.
Okay.
What one word makes you angry?
Hate. Which I don't.
I'm angry just, right now. That you said that.
I just read. I was reading someone's Facebook post. And it was just about the word hate and it being written. It had hate all over it.
Yeah.
It, just something about that. It just. It, yeah.
My mom said you never hate. You just disgrace. You know what I'm trying. You dislike it greatly. That's what I'm
yes,
trying to say.
I
okay.
Like that. I like
finish this. I will never eat
bugs. Except it's kind of a lie, but it came from the forefront. I will never eat bugs again. I've had them in
You're
Mali.
You're in the jungle. I was going to say, you travel.
Well,
you
I didn't
to...
eat them regularly.
Well, that's good. I'm so happy for
I
you.
I can explain a lot, I guess.
Okay. Here's one. What is your favorite guilty TV pleasure?
Oh.
You have to admit it right now.
I'm trying to
so
think.
Everybody
I probably
knows.
Have so much. I mean, like, I like that Brian Williams show on Friday night.
Rock Center?
Yes, so interesting.
That's so adult for you.
It is. I've got a better one. It's a show called H2O. It's an Australian show, and I had to learn an Australian accent. This is a show for teenagers, but I started watching it for my accent. This is months ago, and I may have continued watching it. So, yeah, H2O Down Under.
Where do you get
you
that?
You get it on Netflix. It's good. It's funny. So that is a true one. That is true.
Okay. No, I like that. And I tossed around the idea of the fact that
yes.
I wanted to do this particular question on each show.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I always love to end with a laugh,
sure.
I'm going to do it. Everybody,
go
I know
it.
I said it was RL3, but today it's RL4, and I may always do it this way
uh-huh.
Because we like to find out what people's porn names are. And the way we do this is
okay.
you take the name of your first pet and then the name of the street that you grew up on.
Okay.
And that would be your name. So
Kara, so it doesn't have to be dog or cat, just first pet.
It could be worm.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, but the first animal or pet that you had or that you named,
yeah.
you take that name and then the street that you grew up on. So what is your porn name?
So that my first name would be Hansel, because Hansel was my guinea pig. And I would be Hansel Crofttail. Which sounds very...
That sounds
it's
like...
kind of classy.
Something that would be in Downton Abbey or something. That is not a good porn name. And we're happy about that. So,
well, I could do the second animal and street. That would be Fonzie Barrington, which I believe is much better.
That sounds like something from The Wiggles. I'm sorry. We can't do that with you. We're very happy that you decided to come on. Help us out here today about
Thank
writing.
You.
So it's KaraTrautman.com. You can find out all kinds of things about writing a book and about editing and just basically how to keep your head screwed on
yes.
straight when you're going through this process.
And happyish on Amazon.com.
And it's only $2.99. Can't beat that. Father's Day's coming up.
Right? Dads love to read.
Or birthdays or something's coming up. And you will know it by the yellow cover and the cool squirrel ears on it.
Yes.
And if you want to know what those squirrel ears are all about, you're going to have to buy the book.
Ooh.
Hey. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I really appreciate it. And keep checking back here for Real Life with Lisa Jesswein.